Well, it's my privilege to share this morning. But what a great message that we've already heard. You know, we can study the Word of God, we can debate it, we can argue theology, our view over it. But one thing that you cannot argue is somebody's personal experience. And we've already heard great examples of the good news this morning about what Christ has done in our lives, what Resurrection Sunday means for us. And, you know, that work's already done. But we are going to study the Word of God this morning for the next couple of hours before we head out. I'm not joking. Maybe I am. You'll have to wait and see. We had a great service here on Friday for Good Friday, and it concluded, Ree gave us a challenge to go and think about. What's keeping us in our tomb? Where are we stuck in here when the battle has already been fought and won, when the invitation already exists or has been given by Christ for us to join Him? Where and how and why are we still stuck in our tomb? What's our tomb? I sit in a little bit of the Gen X generation, which every time I've heard this, I keep rewriting the lyrics to What's My Scene by the Hoodoo Gurus. Three laughs. That's how many people have heard of the Hoodoo Gurus in here. But we got to remember that it says in John chapter 8 that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's the message that we want to unpack and discover together this morning is why are we still stuck in our tomb when the price has already been paid for, when we're here to celebrate Resurrection Sunday? I mean, on Friday, we talk a lot about Jesus' death. And my personal thing is what we reflect upon and what we remember is His choice to endure everything that led up to His death, to pay that price for our sin, as we talk about, as we sing about. But we've got to remember, and bear with me, everybody dies. If that's news to you today, I apologize. You came looking for free Easter eggs and hot cross buns, and you found that out. But 100% of people who are born have died or will die. So we're not really remembering the fact that Jesus died, because even to the fact there were two other people in the story that died next to Him that day. What we are needing to remember is that He rose again. That's the significant difference. That is what we are here to remember and to celebrate today. Romans 6, let's read that quickly as we get started. Paul speaking to the church in Rome, starting from verse 2, he says, "Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. But when He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." In Colossians chapter 1, we read that Christ is the first to be raised again of all that have died, the firstborn of the dead. And I love this passage in Romans 6 because it reminds us that when we follow Christ, here Paul talks about the symbolic act of baptism, the public declaration, the being joining Christ in His death but being resurrected into His life, which establishes us to be reborn, to be born again into a new kingdom. Not the one that we were born into, this world, but now we are considered to be part of Christ as we're raised with Him, born into a new kingdom. We get to join Him in the kingdom of God. So when we think about what keeps us in our tomb, Paul's already talked about that fact there, that when we died and were through baptism, raised again with Christ, we're in a new kingdom. There's actually no reason for us to stay in the tomb. I like to think about it. Who's heard of a little board game called Monopoly? Bit of an Easter tradition, I think. You know, camping, church camps when I was a kid, flooding, mud, and board games. And Monopoly is a great game to play at Easter because really it's all about repentance and forgiveness, right? Like you get to the end of the game, whether it's concluded because there's a winner or because somebody has flipped the board and walked away. It's a good thing to, you know, teach your kids repentance and forgiveness. There's a little thing in there called the get out of jail free card, which is awesome. And we love Monopoly. We've just done our season of isolation. And so we had a game of Monopoly and I have reluctantly handed over my crown to Sonny, who's 13, because every time we play now, it's not fun because he wins all the time. He absolutely just dominates and annihilates everybody else. And we're about 10 minutes into the game the other week, and I looked at Mel. I looked at Sonny and his stack. I looked at Mel and I said, we know how this is going to end. Why keep going? Why keep going? But interestingly, Monopoly, when it was first created, it was called the Landlord's Game. And there were two versions of it. One, everybody won. If one person got rich, everybody got rich. The other one is Monopoly, where it was designed that one person would absolutely decimate every other player to the point where you just lose everything and one person reigns supreme. And they actually went with that version of the game when the Parker brothers purchased it. And the original creators of it, they wanted to teach us some facts about life. They wanted people to understand that how you were born is how you were going to die. That there was nothing that could change in your life. If you were dealt the cards that had you as the ultimate winner, then that was your great joy in life. But if you were like most people and you were just someone that they fed off, then that was it. That was it. Now, surprisingly, that game wasn't very fun. So they introduced things like chance cards and community chest and free parking and get out of jail free cards to add some chance, to add some luck, to have a chance for a bit of strategy in the game, to be able to change the results, not in our family because Sonny just wins, but to change the results because life is a bit like that. Interestingly, the get out of jail free card, it gave British intelligence an idea in the Second World War, where they understood that by the Geneva Convention, that charities could send care packs to prisoners of war in concentration camps. That included board games because their captors believed that if they were playing board games, that they wouldn't be thinking about escaping. So British intelligence came up with this idea based on the get out of jail free card, where they would hide clues around the board. They would even put silk maps into the back of the actual playing board. And sometimes the playing pieces were gold so that when the prisoners escaped, they would have something to trade. So they literally turned the game into a get out of jail free card. I think there's some interesting applications that we can take from this game into our life, because it is true that life is difficult. It is hard. It can be just rolling the dice and wondering where you end up on the board and landing in prison or paying tax or having to pay rent or not being able to purchase the property or landing on Mayfair and everything goes wrong. But there are clues that are hidden. There are things about our life that if we understand them, if we find the meaning behind them, they can change the outcome of the game. They can mean that how you were born and how your life starts, that it can end differently. because of landing on a card that perhaps just changes the whole course of your life, like we heard about this morning from Val and from Caleb. Like landing, there's nothing better than when you get sent to prison and you get to pull that card out and play it, and you still get all the rent, you still get all the joy. You just get to visit in prison for a little while. I want to have a look at a story in Acts chapter 16 about Paul and Silas. I know it's Easter Sunday and we're in Acts. We're not in the Gospels. Just bear with me. We'll get there. But in Acts chapter 16, there's a time when Paul and Silas are in Philippi and they're traveling around preaching about Jesus. And they find themselves in prison. Rolled the dice, landed on the go directly to jail card, and off they go to spend some time in prison. And we're going to pick up the story. What happened is they just healed a young girl in the town, and that didn't go down too well. A bit of a ruckus was formed, and so they ended up in prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 22, a mob quickly formed around Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas did what every single person in this room would do. They were praying and singing hymns to God while they were in prison. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open and he assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all still here." The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, where he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 35, the next morning the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said that you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us." When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Now, let's just think about this for a moment. Paul and Silas are in Philippi. They get arrested. Now, the city officials have made a little bit of a boo-boo. That's the important part of this story. The reason why they came down and apologized at the end was they didn't realize that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. They thought they were Jews. But Paul was born in a province called Tarsus, which made him a Roman citizen. He was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen. And at that point in history, the Jewish people were living under the oppression and the rule of the Romans. So the city officials have looked at Paul and Silas, have assumed that they were Jewish, have arrested them, beaten them, and put them in prison without trial. And the next day, they realize they're in a lot of trouble. They have treated a Roman citizen against the law, and they are about to get into a huge amount of trouble. So they ask Paul and Silas to quietly leave the city because the police and the city officials don't want to get in trouble. Now, let's jump back to midnight at the little worship praise party in the lower dungeon of the prison. Let's think about this. We're in prison. The dirtiest, deepest part, the dungeon, in shackles, behind caged doors. Cue an earthquake, shackles fall off, doors open. What do we all do? Run away. Of course we do. That Paul and Silas stay in this prison and continue to sing praises and hymns to God. Even the jailer had assumed that they would have run away. But not only did Paul and Silas stay, so did all the other prisoners. Now, we've got to understand why. Why on earth would they stay sitting in that dungeon when the stone has been rolled away, when the gates are open, when the shackles have fallen off their feet? Why did they not do what each of us would do and go, miracle from God, we're out of here? Well, I believe it's because Paul knew that he had the ultimate get out of jail free card in his back pocket. He knew that at any time, all he had to do was pull out his passport or his digital ID on the Services New South Wales app or whatever he was carrying at that time and simply declare, hello, I'm not a Jew. Well, I am a Jew, but I am a citizen of Rome and you can't keep me here. He knew that although his situation and his circumstances may have had him sitting in a prison cell chained up, he knew he was not a citizen of that nation. He was actually a citizen of a different nation. And therefore, the chains, the bars, and the prison was not what was keeping him in that place. Because at any time, he could have pulled out that chance card, that community chess card, and said, hey, I can get out of prison any time I want because I'm a citizen of a different nation. Philippians 3 verse 20, Paul, having a chat with us again, says this, but we, talking about us, those of us who follow Christ, have joined him in death and resurrection and in the new kingdom, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Our situation and our circumstances at times in our life might feel like we are chained up in a prison cell. It may feel like the deepest, darkest part of life. It may feel like we are sitting in a tomb, surrounded by death. But the truth and the good news is that we are citizens of a different nation. The same rules don't apply to us. When we joined Jesus in death and resurrection, we joined him in life in the new kingdom, where we became citizens of a different kingdom. Just like Paul and Silas, the next day, played that card and were released. What kept them there? They were there because they were on a missionary journey. They ministered to the other prisoners. They led the jailer and his family to Christ. That's why they were there. Their conviction to share the good news. But they didn't have to stay in prison. They had the get out of jail free card. And we have that as well. Knowing that Christ has already paid the price for our sin, that he's conquered death, that he has been resurrected on this day that we celebrate. As followers of Christ, that puts a card into our pocket that we can play anytime we're stuck in our tomb or stuck in prison. When the jailer brings shame for the things of our past, we can play a card and say, that is not valid here. Christ has already paid the price for that. I'm a citizen of heaven, not of this world. When pain comes, when hurt comes to destroy our lives and to roll a stone across our tomb, we can say, hang on, I might just be visiting this place because I'm actually a citizen of heaven. These rules don't apply to me. I'm under a different set of rules for a different nation because Christ has already paid the price for that when loneliness comes, when rejection comes, when we feel unworthy, when the jailer brings these chains, we can remember and play our get out of jail free card, because that is not what happens in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we're part of a family. In the kingdom of God, Jesus says we're worthy. In the kingdom of God, he says if you are the last and the least, you are the first. Because we are citizens of that nation, not the one that we find ourselves in. Val shared a really important thought this morning. You know, following Christ, joining in his death, his resurrection, and being citizens of a new kingdom, it's not about going to church. Even though, congratulations, 16 years. It's not about turning up on a Sunday and saying, yeah, I go to church, I'm a Christian. It's not about the things that we can't do. I'd love to hear some of the stories that your friends asked you, Caleb, but when I was in high school, I mean, I know you're still in high school, aren't you? You go there every day. But it was, everyone wanted to question the things that as a Christian I couldn't do. Oh, you mean you can't do this, you can't do that? But following Christ is not about that. Following Christ is joining with him, being citizens of heaven. And what the Bible tells us, and Val, you said this so well, is that following Christ is knowing that, yeah, sometimes we're going to land on the go directly to jail square. Sometimes the rent's going to be high. That's life. But following Christ is about having more love in our life. It's about finding joy in the circumstances where everything around us says we shouldn't find joy. It's about having peace, that when we are tied up, chained up in a prison, in circumstances that are messy, that we can still find a peace that doesn't make sense to those circumstances and allows us to still sing praises and hymns to God. It's about patience, having patience, being patient. It's about kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The Bible tells us the following Christ is not turning up at 9:30 on a Sunday. It's not a list of things that make your life horrible because you can't do them and have no fun. It's about having what the Bible calls the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And if you find yourself, or when we find ourselves stuck in tombs with giant stones being rolled across them, we can remember Christ has already paid that price for us. He's given us the ultimate get out of jail free card, and that our life, as he said, is intended to be a rich and satisfying life, full of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to ask the band to come as we finish this morning. And we can reflect upon two things. Where do we need to play the get out of jail free card in our life? Where are we sitting in our tomb when we don't need to stay there anymore? Because as we're about to sing, Jesus has already made the way possible for us to get up and walk out as citizens of a different nation, living in a kingdom where the same rules don't apply. And secondly, if you're visiting with us today, if it's your first time hearing the good news, don't pay too much attention to what I said. Listen to Val's testimony, Caleb's testimony about what Christ has done in their life. And don't ask yourself the question, should I become a Christian? Should I become a churchgoer? Ask yourself, do I need more of those nine things in my life? More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more self-control. Because if the answer to those questions is yes, then the answer and the solution is Christ. Joining with Him in His death, in His resurrection, and living as citizens of heaven, where we can boldly and confidently walk out of any place knowing that Christ has already paid the price for us. Let me finish with Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, "For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Well, the Message paraphrase puts it like this: God rescued us from the dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son that He loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Or as the Adam Monopoly translation says, He's given us a stack of get out of jail free cards. He's given us the opportunity to pass go and collect the fruits of the Spirit anytime that we need them. We just need to get up and realize we don't live in this world. We live as citizens of the kingdom of God. Our place is in heaven. Let me pray. Why don't we stand, because we're going to sing and worship in a moment. Lord, we thank You. Not only that You endured the cross, but that You defeated death and You rose again. And You triumphantly walked out of that tomb and invited us to participate in that kingdom with You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to join You in Your death and in Your resurrection, so that we don't need to stay in any tomb, that we can realize that we are citizens of a different kingdom, that these rules that want to hold us in this place do not apply to us. Lord, I pray that as we finish today, as we sing and as we worship, that You would quicken to our minds those places that we are holding on to, that are keeping us resting, stuck in a tomb, in a pit of despair, and remind us the price has already been paid. We don't need to wait to roll doubles or wait our three turns. We can play that card today and enter into Your kingdom and Your life. The rich and satisfying life that You promised us is here for us today. Lord, we thank You that we can stand here victorious, that we can be triumphant, that we are part of the kingdom of God and our citizenship is in heaven. Lord, we thank You. Amen.